Hello, welcome to 4-Track Reviews. I am David Koplis. I'm here today with some fantastic guests. We have Heidi Brink from Sleeper and the Sleepless.
Finger guns. You can't see them, but they're happening.
And they're marvelous.
Thank you.
We also have Heather, the insurance analyst.
Yes, that's me. Exciting.
And Nathan Palmer, man about town.
Yes, I also have a large cowboy hat. It's about 5 feet in radius. And you also cannot see this because it's a podcast.
It's almost hitting my face. It's so large.
It is. It's almost as big as the diameter of this table. So,
which they also can't see.
They can't
see. So your imagination can run wild.
Just dream about my kitchen table, why don't you? So this week we listened to the new self-titled album by St. Vincent. Just came out about a week ago. Mm-hmm. Had a good listen. What did you guys think?
I thought it was pretty good. It's noisy. It's mm-hmm. kind of noisy and distorted.
Definitely. Yeah.
And I was listening. The thing that like popped out the most for me was that almost every song had a really abrupt stop. Did anybody else? Mm-hmm. It was like, mm-hmm. da, na, da, and then it was just done. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's the thing. I think there was like maybe one or two songs that faded out.
But everything else was...
Everything else was just like cut.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't
noticed that. More toward the beginning. Like definitely like abrupt cutoff. And then she like slid into this less abrupt way of ending.
I know, but definitely it was just like, okay, that song. And I was going to start keeping track of it, but then I kind of like... halfway through I was like, oh, I should be keeping track of this, but I can't go back. But I noticed that a lot, and it seemed like a very New York album, and I don't want that to be like offensive, but like, you know, like experimental, like different. I feel like
so you're saying upstate New York.
Yeah, like, you know, like
I feel like upstate New York, like, I don't know, what do you listen to at tennis clubs?
But I think that she's originally like from Texas or Oklahoma or something like
that. I think so, yeah.
But she now lives in New York.
In Brooklyn, yeah.
But what I noticed is I was Googling her and stuff like this. I didn't know that she was in the Polyphonic Spree.
She was?
Yeah, and she was also in Sufjan Stevens' band.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I had no idea. So I was looking at that, I was like, didn't know. So I thought that was kind of cool. So like, I was hearing a little bit of some of those things, especially in the last song, but I won't get to that yet.
Okay.
But I didn't know that. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, as I was writing notes, just... feverishly, I did write down, it flowed naturally between disjointed sounds.
Yeah.
And so it's not necessarily that it was unpleasant in how it was, disjointed. It was even was within the middle of songs at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely wrote down disjointed as well.
Yeah, I wrote down, I think for the, I don't know, which one I wrote down, but I put really disconnected, but still, like, it made sense, but it was still disconnected. I don't know. It's just...
Mm-hmm. Do you know what song that was? Or what track?
What track?
Track 5, which I think was her... is her single out right now.
Digital Witness, yeah.
Digital Witness. Yep. Was it that one?
See, that's my favorite track.
I wrote that down. That was my favorite track, and then also number one, whatever that Rattlesnake.
Rattlesnake, yep.
That one is also my favorite.
Interesting.
But what was another thing that I... What were we talking about before that?
Disjointed.
The band she was in.
Yep. Okay, I think I lost my train of thought with that one, but... But yeah, do you guys want to go track by track, or can we just jump around?
Jump around. Let's get some general ideas. Heather, what did you think of this album?
I mean, I felt very similarly to how I felt about her previous albums. Like, I have listened to it a couple times already, and it took a little warming up to. Mm-hmm. There are definitely some songs that jumped out a little more, like Rattlesnake and Digital Witness are definitely... They're just, you know, you automatically, you jump into
them. They kind of hit you in the face in a good way.
Yeah, and you can groove to them, and they're easy, a little easier to receive.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I'm thinking about how my parents would, you know, react if they listened to this.
I was kind of thinking
and my dad
too.
Would go, well, that's interesting, and my mom would say, turn it off, it's just noise.
Yeah.
Yes.
It definitely, it's not, easy listening.
Yeah.
And I've never really thought of her as easy listening.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't think that's her thing.
No.
Yeah.
So, I was trying to think of themes, you know. I was reading a little bit about today, you know, she said where she gets her moniker from is, like, a couple of different sources, and one of them was from a reference to a Nick Cave song that talks about...
I think I read that too.
Yeah, like, this Welsh poet who died in the hospital, St. Vincent, and she was saying in an interview, St. Vincent says where you go, or where poetry goes to die, and then she said, that's me. And so I think about, like, all of the ways that she plays around with words and how sometimes it's like, it doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah.
Is there, like, a theme here, or is it just, like, chaos and that's her point? And
see, so, now I lost my train of thought, and now I know what it was. Because she was on the Colbert Report last week, I think. And Correa, he sat down with her and he was like, okay, so I really like your music, but I don't get it. Is there something that I'm... he's like, is it okay that I'm thinking that? Like, do you want your fans to be like a, you know, general, like, okay, like, I can just listen to it and I don't have to get it? Or do you want them to get it? He's like, is there something wrong with me that I don't get it? Or is it okay that I'm just listening to it and I like it without knowing what it means? And so she kind of went off on a tangent, and she was, like, kind of saying all these smart words and stuff, and he's like, okay, you're losing me here. Like, so I think that she comes off as a little bit, precocious a little bit in interviews.
See, so I saw her on the Colbert Report, and I heard her on The Nerdist, and she was on some NPR show. It might have been Fresh Air, or I don't know what it was.
Okay.
And I didn't think she seemed precocious at all.
Really?
Well, I'm sure she was a precocious kid.
Well.
But she seemed really down to earth.
Okay. She seems like she's kind of like an awkward person, like an awkward, shy person who maybe she doesn't mean to come off that way, but it's like, she's like, so like, ooh, like, I'm not used to like doing interviews and stuff, that I just will say like the first thing that comes to my mind, and I don't really know like how it's going to come off. And I'm not saying that she comes off wrong. Like, I only watched a couple interviews really, but,
so you're saying she's still pleasant to listen to, but disjointed.
Right. No, she's,
in her interviews, as well as with the instrumentation.
Yeah. And then I read something else on an interview that said, this is a quote from her, that she said, I wanted to make a party record you could play at a funeral.
Yes. I heard the same thing.
Which I thought was kind of a cool concept, and I can picture it. It's just a weird thing to hear, I guess. But I think it makes sense, because it's very, I mean, her songs are kind of spooky to a degree.
So, did anyone get anything from the lyrics?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, tell me more, because I did not.
I got a couple of different things. One thing that I noticed, and it almost was kind of being backed up by the sound itself as well, were several repeating references to artificial or fakeness, but not necessarily in a bad reference, but I kept on noticing that again and again. Noticed it in Rattlesnake. I noticed it in Huey Newton. Let's see here. Digital Witness, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I think I read about what Digital Witness is about. If she said that she was, I think one of the, do you guys have the lyrics on you right now?
I do not.
No. Something about like, why would I even go to sleep, because you can't see me? Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. So there's no point. And I think that I read that she was referencing to like how people are so like, when they go to concerts and stuff, people are like always taking video with their phones and are not actually watching. And so it's like, everybody Instagrams their food pictures and stuff. So it's like, why would I eat if nobody can see what I'm eating? Like, what's the point if nobody can see it? So she was kind of saying, like, and then she's saying that again in the Stephen Colbert interview, where she's saying, like, everyone is kind of doing digital interaction now, and nobody's, like, does analog anymore.
Yeah.
Which I think is what that song is about. Sorry to butt in.
No,
but it was
okay.
On my mind. But, yeah, so I think I thought that was kind of cool, because I'm totally victim of that. I go to shows, you know, I take videos the whole time, and you know, because I'm like, oh, I want to remember this, but you could just watch it and remember it, you know, like, you're there physically. So I totally am, you know, a person who does that, so I get it.
And I, like, yeah, I certainly do too.
One thing that I was thinking about, especially how Rattlesnake abruptly came to a start, and a couple of the first few songs, I was trying to think of what constitutes a fake sound, especially when we all consciously know, you know, these are recording artists.
Mm-hmm.
If any of you have seen it, there's this awesome YouTube channel called PBS Idea Channel on YouTube, and he just does different philosophical questions. The guy recently did why is a live show viewed as a more pure sound when in reality a live musician is trying to replicate what they sounded like on the album.
Sure.
Because people who go to the show are hoping for the sound of what is on the album.
Yeah.
And then there were so many, and just like we were talking about, disjointed sounds. Why do certain sounds sound artificial when I know electric guitar?
Mm-hmm.
That is completely artificial. It's not actually an acoustic. But you know, right. Even something as simple as that difference.
Right.
Is it something... Is the impression artificial, even though maybe the distinction is familiar? So you've heard electric guitar. You've heard a lot of her electric guitar tones, though not all of them, are pretty familiar. Well, a lot of the other tones are things, are either synth tones or whatever.
A lot of... It's pretty heavy in the synth.
Very heavy in the synth. And for the most part, those aren't... They don't sound like something... That is familiar. I mean, on Digital Witness, there's the kind of brass, which kind of sounds like a distorted brass. But for the most part, the rest of the synth tones don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of the drum tones don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so is it back to what you were saying, is it, while our impression is that this doesn't seem natural, it's more that it doesn't seem familiar, because if we hear it enough, it's going to seem natural.
Sure.
That train of thought may even kind of feed back into things like Digital Witness, where things that aren't familiar seem unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
Getting deep up in here. Well, I thought the weirdest synth sound and song on the album was probably track 10, which somebody helped me out with that.
10? That's so far down.
I know. 7. I'm jumping down.
Is that the last one?
Every tear disappears.
No, it's the second to last one.
Oh, no. May that if
Psychopath?
Yeah. Every tear disappears is the second to last.
Oh, every tear disappears.
Because
that one reminded me of, like, and I think one of the lyrics is it, and she's like, I live in Mars, or I live on Mars, or something like that. Was that one? And it sounded like kind of the very, like, spaceship kind of, like, So that one I thought was, like, I pictured it. I wrote this down. I was like, I picture this music video or, like, somebody listening to this song, like, with just them standing in front of a green screen, and there's just, like, stock video of, like, stars and planets behind them and stuff, and they're just kind of, like, floating around, like, ah.
So, I noticed something about the last three songs.
Okay.
And that music video would kind of fit it.
Yeah, sure.
The last three songs, so that's Psychopath, Every Tear Disappears, and Severed Crossed Fingers, kind of had a disco feel.
Yeah.
Or a 70s. Mm-hmm. Like, the last one, the Severed Crossed Fingers kind of had this, like, maybe not disco, but definitely, like, a 70s pop.
Yeah.
I have to
which was very distinct from the rest of the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have to say, Birth in Reverse definitely felt
really
70s.
Okay.
There were several songs.
I love
songs.
The guitar at the end of that song, by the way.
Which track is that?
That's number
second.
Two.
Okay.
There were actually several songs where I noticed how it was just interesting how it reminded me of other songs or other bands.
Like what?
So Birth in Reverse, that reminded me very much of T-Rex for some reason. Is it Prince Johnny?
Yeah.
Barbara Streisand for some reason? Kind of.
I heard a little, like,
a little
some
tiny
parts where she would be singing, and I'm like, yeah, it sounds like maybe it could be, like, in a musical or something on Broadway, but just for, like, snippets of it.
Yes.
And then she goes back to, like, doing her distortion and whatever.
Yep.
But I can get that.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple more. Huey Newton, The Beginning, remind me really strongly of Ratatat.
Okay.
Digital Witness, and with those very distorted horns, remind me of the Gatsby soundtrack.
Okay. I put that in reminded me of, like, if Electric Guest and The Bird and the Bee had a musical baby, it sounded like Digital Witness.
Okay.
Which I think is really cool because I love both those bands. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, the horns and, like, the, like, funkiness of it, of, like, with, like, the Electric Guest and then, like, the vocals and the... She likes to do a lot of staccato kind of things, I think. Like, even with, like, her little, like, it's like, like, everything would be... Even the guitar.
The guitar is very staccato.
It's everything was pretty staccato, but the one... I'm sorry if somebody wanted to jump in on this one, but what was the one where it was had super staccato guitar, but then, like, the bass came in and it, like, really formed it out. And I'm trying to think.
Was that I Prefer Your Love?
I wrote it down. Track 7.
I know what one you're talking about. 1, 2, 3.
That's Regret.
Yeah.
Track 7.
Regret.
Okay.
And it's like everything super staccato guitar, but then that like flowy bass line came in, and I was like, ooh, okay. If that bass part wasn't there, I feel like I would not have really liked that song.
Well, and that song had something. I don't remember what the sound was, and it wasn't kind of a familiar or natural sounding sound. Sounding sound. Wow. maybe I'll edit that. But it sounded like a woodwind, even though it sounded nothing like a woodwind. Like, this was a woodwind part.
Hmm.
You would have a clarinet play... I guess that's not a true woodwind, right? No, sorry, backwards. I'm definitely editing this.
you say that.
No. Yeah. Be true to yourself.
Yes. But that song, so that song and the one after it, Bring Me Your Lovers, and then one towards the Huey Newton, all of them gave me this very, like, post-war feel. Mm. And, like, big band kind of thing, just, like, roaring 20s.
Mm. Yeah, which would go with the Great Gatsby.
Definitely.
Kind of thing. So that kind of works. Yeah. Which one is the Huey?
Huey Newton was... 4 or 5? 1, 2. That's 4.
Okay.
You know, that, like, the post-war, yeah, post-war thing, totally. I mean, like, I was looking for the word, but I get so caught up in, like, what is she doing?
And it's like post-apocalyptic, like, even? Or, like, just post-war? Yeah. Or...
But definitely,
I love that description.
Post-apocalyptic?
No, post-apocalyptic, post-war.
Yeah. There you go. It works.
But the severed cross fingers, you know, like, mm-hmm. My severed cross fingers are in the rubble, and it's just, like, this sort of, I feel like, ironic line, almost, you know, you have, like, someone that's, like, hoping for something, that's usually the gesture, right? It's, like, really hopeful, and their fingers are found, like, in that sign and rubble.
Oh, see, that makes much more sense than what I was thinking, because I was thinking, like, cross fingers, like I'm lying, but I like the image of the crossing your fingers for something to happen.
Yeah.
And then there's a big like that's
up. Yeah, I've never really thought about how that it's like a double meaning with that. Mm-hmm. Really.
Okay.
I never really thought about that. That's pretty cool. Is that the last song?
That was,
And also that it ends sort of like, you know, on a more subtle note where she like, you know, she bangs in with the album with Rattlesnake and it's really anxious and blah, blah, blah. And then ends in this piece that's like kind of like a ballad, I would say.
Yeah.
Just, like, very much more,
it's,
like,
I thought that was a little weird that she... It's, like, all the powerful ones were, like, right in the beginning, and then she ended it pretty somberly.
And she did that on the first... So, she ended the first side that way, too, I think. Is that I Prefer Your Love?
Yeah.
Which is really groovy. A pretty conventional song, even if the sounds themselves aren't conventional.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, everything before that had very different... The rhythm, especially, was very distinct.
Yeah.
And the structure was distinct. But that one was very conventional, I thought. And she ended
for
it that way.
For the last track?
For the last track on the first side. So, and then the same thing with the last track.
Yeah.
Did Regret come in strong? I don't remember specifically.
I think it came in maybe not like as bombastic strong, but certainly it gave a strong impression.
I think for the last song, I put, this is the notes I had for this. I put ending the album on a very hold up your lighters kind of song. That's just what I pictured, is people swaying and
yep.
I don't know. And then I put, I could see the song playing on the film credits of like some independent movie. And I thought it was definitely the most polyphonic spree like song.
Okay.
Because of like the kind of chorus of voices that came in at the end.
Yeah.
Which is very polyphonic spree.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of played back to that. But yeah, it was definitely a hold up your lighters kind of song. And yeah. Yeah, like a ballad kind of song. And then there was one, track six, help me out.
Is that
the Jesus song?
Yeah.
Yes, I prefer your
Jesus. Okay. Yeah. And that one was kind of like a ballad too, but like a weird ballad with weird lyrics, like mm-hmm. for that. But I still mm-hmm. pictured it being like at like an 80s prom where people are slow dancing to it, but like yeah. in a cool way. Yeah. I don't know.
I want to make this movie. You
yeah.
can describe
I don't know.
It.
Yeah.
Like 80s prom post-apocalyptic with a big band.
It
yes.
looks like a hit. I don't yeah. know. Other,
it could happen.
I mean, I'm not a huge movie buff, but yeah. are there movies?
There's
got
to be something.
Someone's
I mean,
done it.
Yeah. Someone's done it yeah. for sure.
There's nothing That's, new under the sun.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. But yeah, I thought the slow dancing one and... Oh, so track eight. Let's get to that one. What's that one called?
Is that Psychopath?
Bring
no,
me
Bring
your
Me
Your
Lovers. Lovers.
That was my least favorite song.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. I thought that one was definitely the most disjointed for me. And it's maybe... I liked what like, how she did like the weird like lower vocal against her
mm-hmm.
harmony, but I don't know. I it's too disjointed for me. I think that I'm more of a, like a melodic person. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there was too many ideas, too many things happening. I felt mm-hmm. like you said before, I was like a little anxious, mm-hmm. a little too much anxiety in the song for me. So I was just kind of like, okay, I can't really. Like, I'm getting used to one sound, and then it kind of switches gears, and then it goes to something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just me personally, it just wasn't my cup of tea. But okay. I know that
there's that was one of my... It wasn't my favorite song, but it was up there for me.
Yeah, it was my least favorite song, I think.
What I got from that one is, like, I mean, she repeats that song, that line, bring me your loves, all your loves, and then talks about this dog that she lets off the leash.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't make it heal. And I don't know. I didn't really know what to think of that because it's like
it was just hard to connect to, I think.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. it's
for me.
It's just really it is disjointed and there's not anything super concrete there
right.
and you have this image of this person wanting something.
Yeah.
Letting something go. It's
yeah. And it's yeah. clearly purposefully disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
Like it clearly wasn't an accident. Like
right.
it was
mm-hmm.
very distinctive. I just, you know.
It wasn't a choice that you appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I get that it was, you know, a conscious decision. Like it would have been worse if it was like, okay, does this person know what the fuck is happening right
yep.
now? Because that's when you watch it and you're like, okay, what? But I could tell, I mean, it was all of her songs, you know, however disjointed
mm-hmm.
and disconnected they are. It's, you still know, okay, there's a lot of thought behind this and they know what they're doing. Clearly it's just, you know, not for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, during that song was the time I decided to write down my thoughts on the sounds of, you know, what the album as a whole
mm-hmm.
really sounded to me. And what I did write, pretty much what we're all agreeing to, I think, is interesting to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, while you are listening to it, enjoyable, but it doesn't entice me in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The album in general or just that song?
Well, the album in general.
Okay.
But that was the one that kind of... pushed me to make that decision on what my idea,
sure.
on what the sound of the
yeah.
album was.
Because you kind of got her whole range by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and along those lines, towards the end, I started wondering if I heard, like if I were at a party or if I were at some store and one of these songs, with the exception of, what's the single? Digital Witness.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of Digital Witness, if I just heard one of these songs in some public place, how would I react to it on its own? And would I react more positively or less positively?
Mm-hmm.
And I really couldn't figure that out. I and trying to figure out, is this an album that really makes sense as an album, or is this an album that's a collection of tracks.
You know, I think it is part of a whole.
Yeah.
I really do think that you need the whole experience for it, because otherwise, I don't know. I think that's just how although I feel like Digital Witness can hold its own.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously she chose it as a single for that point.
I've heard Birth in Reverse plenty times.
Have
as
you?
A single.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually heard that more as a single more than Digital Witness.
Oh, okay.
So I think that one as well holds up on its own.
Yeah.
But I totally agree that for the majority of the album, you really would not actually even want to pull it out just as something by itself.
Which seems like a pretty good success. So that's good. Yeah.
So anything else stick out to you guys? I'm
trying to think if I had any other weird notes.
In terms of theme, I wasn't able to, you know, pick anything down that really flowed through the entire album.
Okay.
But there were two things that I kind of found interesting. A lot of allusions to parenthood. So motherhood, birth in reverse, fatherhood and Prince Johnny. Let me keep on. I prefer your love. Several mentions of mother and fatherhood.
So do you think like she had a rough childhood kind of thing, or is it like just a theme that came up?
You know what, I was, you know, I kept on reading through those lyrics as they were popping it up, but I wasn't able to figure out if it was something that would be referring to her childhood, referring to her, I don't know if she has kids or anything, future, or if that was just referring to kind of
situations that make her, that remind her of that, or
I was even going to say more abstractly towards creation and more abstractly towards creation and authorship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Which I think it may be more of the abstract on some of these.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would think anything on this album is abstract.
It's totally not even her thing.
By the way, we have to get the elephant in the room out of the way. Birth in Reverse. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, the album title or the song title.
Mm-hmm.
Because makes me think of terrible, gross visuals.
Because I was thinking of kind of like, you know, your birthed head out. So this is kind of like a sleeping bag feet first situation. And I'm going to leave it right there.
So are you saying you don't want to see the video for the song?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Like, you know, one song that stood out to me was...
someone had to say it.
Oh,
Huey Newton. And we talked a little bit about it already. But this is one of the songs that I thought had that 20s feel. Mm-hmm. But it also, it reminded me of that scene in, I think it was Huey Newton, but it reminded me of that scene, it's Prince Johnny, which I thought actually kind of sounded at the beginning like a James Bond thing. So Prince Johnny, it reminded me of that scene in High Fidelity when they're in the record store, and I forget who it is, but one of the guys behind the counter looks at another one and says, "I'm going to sell 5 copies of the 3 EPs by the Beta Band in the next 2 minutes." And he puts on the album, and suddenly, like, everyone's just bobbing their head all throughout the store.
Yeah.
And that song, like, really made you want to move.
Yeah. Like, well, I could tell we were all, like, I was kind of looking around, and we were all just, like, bobbing our heads and tapping our feet a little bit. And, we were kind of getting into it in the beginning.
There was a lot more of that towards the beginning of the album than on the second half.
Yeah, a lot more. I think we got a little more calm towards the end. We were just kind of sitting there and just kind of intently listening rather than moving around, for sure.
Did anyone else notice, like, on that, in that same vein, so she's repeating "saw you pray to all like, she's repeating that phrase all
which
all,
song?
And Prince Johnny.
Okay.
And then I noticed a couple other times in the record she's like, she's referring to this, like, collection of people, you know, all. And I mean, when I first listened to this song, I couldn't figure out what she was saying, and I actually thought she was saying Allah. Like, oh. So like, who do you pray to? Allah.
Yeah.
And it's like she's repeating Allah, Allah, Allah. And it's, I mean, it doesn't, I've never heard that phrase before. Oh, you thought, yeah, oh, I'm praying to all, you know.
Yeah.
Like, or I saw, you know, I noticed you're praying to all. And it, I mean, I'm still trying to pick it apart in my brain. Because it's like, that's the way her albums work. I think you're just kind of wrestling with it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what you guys got from that, but it, you know, there's...
Yeah, I wish I would have looked at the lyrics while I was listening to it. That probably would have helped me a little dive in a little deeper, but...
Mm-hmm. I noticed a lot of, you know, religious terms almost put into a kind of physical description through a lot of them. So like, Bring Me Your Lovers, I think, Prince Johnny, which we're talking about. But yeah, I noticed that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I took it myself, kind of, you know, in the similar thought of like that it was made more of an abstraction of what those mean, and then applying it to some other story that she's trying to tell. But I did notice that a lot through a lot of these.
Mm-hmm.
Where like Prince Johnny, you know, like the description of moving his index fingers over the mountains,
mm-hmm.
Like all of these like extremely grandiose things, almost making himself a god, but then he wants to be real, and he wants to be more, and he wants her to believe in him, I or something like that. Almost as if, you know, in other words, he's so much less than what was initially being described.
Hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I really need to go back and pick this apart, because...
With the lyrics.
This is the first time, I've listened to the album a couple of times, but this is the first time that I was able to sit down and listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing the lyrics, and it's, it, at face value, it appears to be chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to see what's going on here, because I think there's a lot of intention in the chaos of the music, and the instrumentation. And given that, I assume there's a lot of intentionality in the lyrics as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know more.
Not just deep for the sake of being deep.
Yeah, not just like not just thrown together.
Do. Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know. Everyone's got their own process.
It's true.
Heather, you have a lot of notes.
I do have a lot of notes. Well, okay, so another thing that I prefer your love. I was sitting with this wording of hers, and so I'm an English major, and I just tend to read maybe way too much mm-hmm. into things, but the way that she's saying, I prefer your love to Jesus... Okay, so she doesn't say, I prefer your love instead of Jesus or over Jesus, and says, like, I prefer your love to Jesus, and if you just take that as it is, how do you read that? Is it, do you read it as, I prefer, she, like, so assuming that it's her speaking, like, she prefers your love over Jesus, so, like, she prefers your love instead of Jesus, so mm-hmm. she's, like, rejecting Jesus, or is it, I prefer your love to Jesus, like your love
to Jesus. Hadn't even,
like, I was thinking like, more like, I love you more than I love Jesus.
Yeah, that's, I mean, initially mm-hmm. that's how I thought of it, but it's, to me that seems like a really weird phrasing of it, and I think, you know, maybe at, you know, automatically what you think of it, oh, okay, so based on what you've heard from her other music where she says, the heaven, like, heaven scares me because it's too high. What you were talking about with the physical elements of, you know, oh, heaven is above and it's too high for me, so I don't want it. That's the sort of, like, rejection of any sort of, like at least Christianity in that sense where you have, like, Jesus and heaven and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's made, in one of the interviews I heard with her, she made some pretty distinct comments about her distaste for the ideas of heaven and hell.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty interesting.
And
and when you said that she was inspired by Nick Cave,
yes,
I was really hoping that was Nick Cage, because I noticed the Left Behind reference and I
Oh my gosh.
Because
we're post-apocalyptic here, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's just like one little bit that I was playing with, but I also, you know, I read it as like, yeah, okay, so she's preferring this person's love over Jesus.
I think it's just an over exaggerated way to say, like, a lot of people really love Jesus, but I love you more than that.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah, it's kind of a cool way to look at it.
Well, and she, not all the way throughout, but there are a few songs where repetition is a thing. That seems to be a tool that she uses. I mean, in I Prefer Your Love, that's definitely there.
Track four, I put a note that it was a little too repetitive for me. Was that Huey?
That was Huey.
Yeah. And I think towards the end.
And Bring Me Your Lovers.
It was getting really repetitive for me. I appreciated it, but I think like a little bit was just at least the music part of it. Yeah, it got a little too repetitive for me. But yeah, there was a lot of that happening for sure.
Well, and you said with the music being repetitive, one thing in, I already made a quick mention of it, but in Birth in Reverse, the song ends with this guitar line that's just like a loop. And it was so cool.
But you can get away with repetition if it's like interesting enough.
But later on in the album, something similar happens. It's not how the song ends. It's a different line and a different guitar tone, but it just doesn't work the same way.
Yeah.
Like, was it the one
where they're just doing like scales basically?
Yeah, kind of.
Yes. I was going to put a note on that, but I forgot what song it is, but it is towards the end.
Yep.
And it was just basically them doing scales over and over again. And I think that it could have been cool, but I think it went on a little too long, maybe. But yeah, it was just like scales, 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 like doing different scales. Okay, going back. Okay, key change, scale. Yeah. So I know what you're talking about. Yep. But yeah, it didn't work the same at all.
No.
Yeah. I think it had good intentions, but didn't come through that way.
Did any of you? Okay, sorry.
Oh, before we change subject, one idea that I had as you two were talking about it. Would maybe we be even more attuned to that because of how disjointed side A was?
Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah.
And now that repetition is being added into the mix,
we're weirded out like, because it's not second, disjointed.
Wait a second.
Yeah,
this
it
is
could
not...
be it. So we're like blindsided by it because it's supposed to be like mishmashed. And yeah, it could be.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a good way to, interesting way to look at it.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just thinking about in terms of direction. So when I was listening to it, I'm like, okay, if I can't understand what her lyrics are saying, where do I think this is going? I mean, if it is an album in its true sense where there's, you know, sort of like a, you know, like a punch at the beginning and then she gets a little quieter and then she builds again and then she, you know, there's sort of a wave. There, like, specifically, I think I'm thinking of Birth in Reverse. And, you know, when you guys were talking about, like, the repetition with the guitar, and it definitely sounds like a reverse sound at the end of that.
Yes.
And it's repeating. And it's this, like, yeah, this Birth in Reverse. And I actually was visualizing, not in, like, it's super graphic way, but just, like, someone crawling back into the
womb. I wish you could see what
and,
she's
like,
doing with her hands
light
right now.
Narrowing from the tunnel. You know, just think of it as a tunnel. Like, instead of going forward, you're going backward, and you're just, like, the light is just disappearing.
Yeah.
And this is this sort of, like, I mean, talk about hoping for something with crossed fingers, and then it's, like, okay, well, that isn't happening, because what I, you know, this, like, this life that was going to happen or expected to happen is not happening because it's backwards. And yeah. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's, like images in your mind.
I don't know if this is intentional at all, but like I was thinking, references to parenthood as authorship or creation. Would you say the opposite of creation would be chaos? And so a lot of the disjointedness that would be in the first couple of songs
could be part of the theme.
Yeah.
the more we talk, the more I need to. Well, I want to sit down and listen.
I know. Yeah. Well, I actually, that's good. That's yeah. good.
I, speaking of chaos, I did in number 8, your least favorite song, Heidi. Mm-hmm. I wrote chaotic next to it.
Yeah.
I tried. I mean, I like wrote a word almost next to every single one when I was like for number 6. I prefer your love, dreamy.
Yeah. It just, I mean, like, yeah, like it was my least favorite. I wouldn't say again that it was a bad song. It's mm-hmm. just like, I don't know, I think it just caught me off guard. Even with how kind of crazy the other songs were, mm-hmm. I feel like that one just popped out so much more for me. And I was like, ooh, where is this going? And I kind of just couldn't get into it. And I was just kind of, you know, I was like, yeah. But yeah, definitely chaotic, anxiety,
mm-hmm.
like, yeah. But again, I think that was the point of it.
Yeah.
So.
She has so many layers. Sometimes I wonder, like, in her music writing process, how she is thinking about these things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, where, like, I wonder where she's starting. If it's, you know, I know she plays guitar, so she's probably, like, playing around with that.
I think she plays,
like, and then
almost
she just...
every instrument. I was looking it up, and the cool thing I found out is that she plays a theremin, which is awesome. And I
yes,
really want to get one, and I'm like... That is pretty badass.
I once bought a build-your-own theremin kit.
Nice.
Then I lost half the pieces.
Then you could not do it.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think she kind of is like, what would you say, a Jill of all trades?
Yeah.
Instead of a Jack. So yeah, I don't know, like, do you think that she has like a staff band that records with her? Or do you think that she kind of does like most of her own stuff? I don't really know how that works with bands who are... have multi-talents, like Sufjan Stevens, like
right.
he only has a band tour with him because he needs them.
He can't play it all on his
right.
I don't know when she's recording. I got the impression that writing was a process that was her and her alone.
Sure.
So I don't know about when she goes into the studio.
Yeah.
It's also, it's certainly... These multi-instrumentalists, I always associate, like, the sort of basement Artur.
Mm-hmm.
The sounds that she uses and the fact it's all electronic,
mm-hmm.
It's electric guitar and then...
Keyboard.
Yeah.
And well, because I think that her live show, it's just 3 people. I think it's
really?
Her on guitar, and then I think she has a keyboardist, and then I think it's a drummer.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Yeah, and Colbert, she had 2 people on since.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay.
And one was a backup singer, I think.
Yeah, I could have read that wrong, but I thought that it for most of the show, you know, after show interviews or whatever, it was just like a trio kind of thing, which is interesting because there's so many sounds.
Yes.
So.
But no, I think that I mean, just given the fact that everything on the album could be done by one person.
Yeah.
I tend to think it probably was.
Yeah.
That might not be
not
true
that it
not,
really
but,
matters.
Yeah.
For the, it's just interesting to think about. Another big thing that I thought about through the whole album was like, Bjork.
I was going to say, who do you compare her to?
She's like a well-tuned Bjork.
Yes.
Like an easy listening Bjork. I mean, I like Bjork as much as the next person, but a little, you know, easier to listen to.
Yeah.
Is it because you think her voice, like, if there's, like, one thing you can pick out that would make
you know, I mean, I wouldn't say that she's, like, Bjork and that's it. Like, mm-hmm. it's Bjork mm-hmm. mixed with, like, you know, Electric mm-hmm. Guest and Burn mm-hmm. the Bee and then what you were saying before, T-Rex. And, I mean, I think it's mm-hmm. just, like, a combination. And I know that specifically probably artists like her don't like to be compared to other artists because it's
maybe
such
not.
A unique sound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think that sometimes we try to, like, scrape the bottom and be like, okay, what can I make this, like, what can I compare this to?
Yeah.
But I definitely think, you know, Bjork, just with the, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just thought that for the whole album. But I think I've kind of always had that kind of in my mind with her.
Well, and given
words.
Her, yes, words. I'm not even gesturing. And that's when you know.
You're
I'm
paralyzed.
Really thinking, yeah. Bjork was somewhere that I went with thinking about who she might be like as well. And I think that's probably, I mean, musically there's something there, but conceptually I think it's even more so.
Mm-hmm.
You just see this very creative person doing something that is out of the ordinary.
Right, which is totally
who puts
Bjork.
On an image that is out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think that her voice, like St. Vincent, or what's her name?
Annie Clark.
And yes. Is it Annie Clark?
Annie Clark.
Her voice is beautiful.
Yeah.
In a very traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
A very conventionally beautiful voice. Unlike Bjork, who has a very interesting voice.
Right.
But it's not conventionally beautiful.
Right. I would say just like a mixture of like Bjork and like Emily Haynes from Metric or something like that. I don't know.
Well, and another person, like another artist who puts out an unconventional image, another female artist puts out an unconventional image, Lady Gaga. Like, there is a certain, like...
Well, they both got the gray hair.
They do, apparently.
They're sporting the gray hair. Which another interview I read was that reportedly her gray hair is inspired by Albert Einstein. Because it's kind of crazy.
It looks like Albert Einstein.
And it does. And I don't know, because Stephen Colbert also made a joke about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's where it reportedly came from. Which it very well could be, because it's just Stephen Colbert making a joke.
Right.
But I thought that was kind of interesting. But yeah, they both got the silver gray hair, and you know, they have the different looks and the fashion art pop kind of thing. Which I actually am surprised at how much I like Gaga's new album, which I'm getting into a whole new thing, but
I've not listened to the new album.
Yeah, because I really disliked the one before.
Yeah, like, that was not good. When that one first came out, I was wondering if she was punking us all.
Was that the one? I was born this way.
Was that the album or was that? But that was the album.
I think
the
album title was that as well.
Okay.
It was a bad album. But anyways, we're getting into a whole new other thing. But
new one is much better.
Yes, much better. I was surprised actually, because I kind of lost hope for her.
Yeah. Well, and when I first heard what was the single? Applause.
Applause, yeah.
I hated it.
I hated it at first too, and I freaking love it.
It's so good.
It is so good.
It took me like 10 listens, because her and Katy Perry hit at just the same time with new songs.
Sure.
And like, Roar isn't a great song.
No.
But at first I was like, this is so much better than Applause.
Yeah.
And then after a bunch of listens, it's like, yeah, no.
Yeah. Applause is really good.
It is.
The music video is freaking awesome too.
That's actually when it really turned for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing when you see another part of the vision for a song.
Yeah.
And then it makes more sense.
Music videos really can, like, make or break a song. Like, if you're, like, on the fence about it and you watch the music video, you can either just be like, oh, okay, this is awesome. AKA Applause.
Yeah.
It really did do it for me. But, yeah. So, does St. Vincent have any music videos out for this album yet?
I haven't seen anything.
Digital Witness has a music video.
Does it?
And it's actually it upped the amount that I liked.
So now I want to watch it.
I recommend it.
I can picture it being
really
cool.
Yeah.
That's something we should check out for sure.
Go YouTube it after this.
Definitely.
So, any last thoughts?
Noisy, distortion, but beautiful, and I don't know, I liked it.
All right. Heather?
I would say it's enjoyable after a couple listens through.
Yeah, definitely takes warming up too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nathan, what do you think?
Yeah, harsh going down, but still good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I like this album, like they said. This isn't easy listening, but I think it is worthwhile, and I look forward to digging into it some more. So that's our episode. Are there places that people can follow you?
Twitter for my band, I guess, and personal, all the things, but Sats Music.
Sats Music is?
Sats, S-A-T-S.
Okay.
Music, I think, is our Twitter handle and our Instagram.
Awesome.
Which I'm in charge of updating, and I'm really bad at it, so I'll be trying to get better at that, so we'll see.
Awesome.
I do have a Twitter account, and my name is H.A. Macaroon.
I don't have anything that I'm actually producing or anything like that at the moment. I'm actually considering doing a podcast as well, but that's not. No, it'll be definitely different category. But
though we talked about it, and certain ideas that had wanting variety, wanting people who necessarily wouldn't get together and talk about the topics in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I'm looking forward to if you one day do your gaming podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I want to do that eventually here, but that is several months down the line.
So, you can follow me on Twitter, at Kapilis, K-A-P-I-L-I-S. If you want to see what else I'm up to, you can go to davidisentertained.com. And if you want to get a hold of us here at 4-Track Reviews, you can email us at 4trackreviews@gmail.com. But let us know what you thought about this album. Comment on the Facebook post or on the website. This is where I have a great tagline.